Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Frank. Dave, good afternoon, my friend. How are you up there in La La Land?
Everything is actually pretty darn good. It was an incredible week, both here and up in our Washington, D.C. capital.
Absolutely.
And we can't wait to tell you all about it. I mean, it's nonstop at this point. I feel a positive energy.
Yes.
As of now, and then literally, you know, we've been saying, well, this is, you know, 15 months away, about November of 2022. It's now, I can almost like taste it.
Oh, you know? Dude, yesterday was like the day of the awakening for us. I mean, it's a beautiful start. We still have 3 years left of this Sleepy Joe turd, but I think we are definitely heading on the right path with a variety of things, which I think, tell us about,
I'm going to call it an inflection point. And I think, I think a lot of our fellow, Republicans up on the Hill can feel it as well, including one of our favorite congressmen.
Yes.
Jim Jordan. He's out in Ohio. Who knows which district it is? I don't remember that. But he, not only he talks fast, kind of like us, we rapid fire.
Yes.
But he can jump and really summarize what's going on in just a short amount of time. So for, we don't do this too often, everybody, but we got Jim Jordan. It's about a 2-minute speech he just gave just yesterday.
Yes.
On the 13th of January. Take it away, Frank.
Floor of the House, Jim Jordan. Republican summarizing our entire positions.
The Democrats have objected to counting the presidential electors every single time this century a Republican's been elected president. They spent 4 years trying to overturn the 2016 election. Democrats spied on a presidential campaign. They did impeachment in secret based on a so-called whistleblower whose identity only Congressman Schiff got to know. This Congress, they have closed the Capitol, enacted proxy voting, kicked Republicans off committee, and for the first time in American history, denied Republicans seats on a select committee that was chosen by the minority leader. They're trying to make D.C. a state, end the Electoral College, end the filibuster, pack the court, destroy executive privilege, take federal control of elections, and are currently allowing in jurisdictions illegal immigrants to vote. And finally, the January 6th committee has altered evidence and lied to the American people about it. But somehow they tell us it's President Trump and Republicans who are undermining democracy. Give me a break. Undermining democracy because we actually think you should show a photo ID when you go to vote. In one year's time, while Democrats are doing all that, in 1 year's time, they've given us record crime, record inflation, record illegal immigration. And as bad as all that is, it's not the worst. The worst is how they've used the virus to attack our freedoms. How they've used the virus to attack our First Amendment rights. And here's the irony. They used the virus to attack our liberties, even though everything they've told us about the virus has been wrong. They told us it didn't come from a lab. They told us it wasn't gain-of-function research. They told us it was only 15 days to slow the spread. They told us masks work. They told us we have a federal plan. Joe Biden said that himself. They told us there would never be a vaccine mandate. They told us people who get vaccinated can't get the virus, the vaccinated can't transmit the virus, and they told us there was no such thing as natural immunity. Think about this. At the same time, Democrats require you to put on a mask, show your papers, and an ID to get a Big Mac at McDonald's. They want to allow the federal government to stop states from requiring a photo ID to vote. This is ridiculous. Vote no on this legislation.
So yeah, he was talking primarily at the very end there about the thing they have up on the Hill to completely overhaul the ability for the Democrats to steal the elections on a federal level.
HR1. Thanks for letting me play that, Dave. I just thought that Jim Jordan did an incredible job of summarizing our entire platform, like what you and I, what our thousands of followers, what everybody stands for. He summarized in about 2 minutes, which was great.
And I love how he brings it all back home to a Big Mac. Forget the big issues out there.
Exactly.
I gotta show an ID for a Big Mac the good, great contrast. So good for him. I'd like to see him run for Senate one day.
Yeah.
Governor. I mean, for me, take your position. I don't care. Jordan's awesome.
Totally.
So two other major things happened a bunch of things, but on Tuesday, as you recall, there were two other major hearings up on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
So first off, they brought a couple of bonehead FBI persons up there, one male, one female. I don't know their names. We don't care. Just a couple more bureaucrats. And we've talked about this, hammered it over and over. The FBI is completely been emasculated, if that's the right way to put it. And it's now at the complete bidding of the swamp and the Democrats. So, yeah. Oh, here's her name, Jill Sanborn. So Ted Cruz, you know, I think he's trying to make a comeback after stepping in the pool a week or so ago, right?
Right, right.
So he hammered her and just directly asking, did any FBI agents or informants participate in the events of January 6th? Because this is, of course, an event that the Dems are going to just try to.
And this was all virtual. She was sitting in a comfy office at the Department of Justice. So no, and not in front of the people.
Her and the other bonehead completely denied anything. And when you completely have, I don't know, that means you're basically covering.
They refused.
Shit,
I mean, yeah. And actually, yeah, they were. It's almost like taking the Fifth Amendment as a witness in Congress. She said, I refuse to answer that question. I will not answer that question. And she was asked about Ray Epps. She refused to answer that question. She was asked about all the other instigators, the Oath Keepers on January the 6th, refused to answer that question. Did you pre-position hardware and weapons inside the Capitol window, so when the windows were open, people could reach in and grab the batons and so forth? I refuse to answer that question.
So even as you mentioned, Frank, they just arrested what quote unquote Oath Keepers.
Right.
So these are good-hearted, patriotic Americans. Oh, but all of a sudden, this week we're going to arrest a bunch of them. But this Ray Epps character that we keep bringing up, that was at one time on the most wanted list, and then removed, and he's sitting out there in his ranch in Arizona.
Yeah.
No, he's off the table.
Well, the Oath Keeper arrest day, as we talked pre-show, was just, you know, that was simply, I mean, like 13 months later. I mean, give me a break. It's like literally, the only reason they did that is just to keep the whole charade alive for like another few months with a few people out there on the far left turd side that have this as like a candlelight for themselves, which is just, it's just off the charts, not working. So totally been debunked. It's going nowhere. The more people that get into this from the left-hand side on the Jan 6 thing, it's just, people are so over it, have so moved on, including us. So we should probably talk about the Supreme Court decision this week, shouldn't we?
I know, there's so much to get to.
I know.
Okay, we'll save COVID, Omicron for just a moment. So the two, actually, these are kind of related. Two Supreme Court rulings also hit. One was very much in our favor. One was kind of. Frank, give us the details.
Yeah, so I think as everybody obviously knows by now, this is probably the biggest Supreme Court decision that people will be paying attention to. Not a lot of folks pay attention to Supreme decisions. This was a huge one. This had to do with the Biden vaccine mandate for any company with over 100 employees. The Supreme Court struck down the mandate, the whole OSHA mandate, the Occupational Self and Safety Health Department under HHS, 6-3 vote, Dave. So that actually went very, very well from our perspective. It continues to preserve, actually, it heightened both the religious and medical exemptions that people could take on that front. And that kind of relates to the second point on this decision. So they did throw a bit of a bone to the administration and Javier Becerra, the HHS secretary, former California governor, who knows nothing about science or medicine, and is a lawyer by training. They did say that for hospitals and healthcare workers that are receiving federal funding, so this is basically Medicare, Medicaid, which is really every hospital in the country, basically, for the most part, that yes, they for those healthcare workers, the vaccine mandate will be in place. However, the big follow-up to that is that major, major religious and medical exemptions, much stronger than were allowed before, will be in place. So consistent with the constitutional wording on those two fronts. So that's very good news for us. And Dave, on a related story, I just have to say, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, came out, you might have seen this in a piece this past week regarding the so-called CMS mandate or the Medicare mandate that the Supreme's allowed to stay in place. And he said, quote, what they are trying to do is insane. And the video is amazing, but I'll just summarize for you. Basically, they're allowing unvaccinated healthcare workers are being fired while COVID positive doctors and nurses who've been vaccinated
can work.
Are being allowed back to work. So somebody explain to me how the fuck that makes any sense.
and dump it on them again. Once again, who voted against the best issue, best will of the American people, John Roberts and Mr. Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Boy, he's just
really
continuing to be a
Really, I think both those. Roberts, I totally expect. I mean, Epstein, he's Kavanaugh, been to the island. They got the goods on him from a pedo point of view. But I mean, Kavanaugh, really? I'm just, I don't know. Really disappointed.
We'll see if we if he has any life left in him when the next Republican president comes to town.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of praising, you know, on the opposite side of the coin, I want to talk about Arizona Democrat Senator Kristen Sinema.
Please.
When she first got into office, I thought she was a complete dumbbell. But she has shown a lot of stones for being a Democrat, and it's not easy on that side of the aisle.
True.
And between her and Manchin out there in Virginia, West Virginia, they're holding the line. And I think I think, are they wobbly? Are they going to give in on this or that, the filibuster? But she gave a fantastic speech a couple of days ago.
She did.
And I go, holy cow, who is this?
She did. Dave, I really have to give kudos to her. Actually, just before I do that, though, one quick follow-up on the Supreme's ruling in the OSHA mandate. Literally hours after the mandate, this is breaking today, January 14th at 3:40, GE, General Electric, so huge woke corporate company, GE suspends vaccine requirement after Supreme Court strikes down mandate. So it's starting to happen. These woke companies are going to start. Some of them will stay. Some of them will topple. Biden said he's going to basically continue to ask them to keep doing it, which is like hysterical after the Supreme mandate, right? But I mean,
well, tied into that, I think, you know, we talked about this last week being an inflection point. I really do think the tide is turning in that more and more people are becoming aware. And finally, forget even, you know, the politicians, but a lot of the mainstream media is finally like, ooh, this isn't quite working. And out of nowhere, Walensky, the CDC director, she's basically been worthless. And the credibility of that organization is in the toilet. But even she came out and there was like two or three things that were just like eye-popping.
Right.
To see the, so basically the number one was 75% of people that have died of quote unquote COVID had four or more comorbidities.
Yeah. Which by the way, Dave, is like super fucking sick, right? Four, you're obese, diabetes, cardiac disease, and something else. Take your pick.
That's not just one item. That's a list.
It's a long list. And I think we might've mentioned topic before, but again, Dave, no accidents. This was not, she didn't just all of a sudden get righteous on us, dude. No. This was a total pre-planned. I'm going to come back to Kristen Sinema, by the way, give me a second, but this was a total pre-planned Democratic strategy. They were like, Walensky, go out there, say this. It's part of the pivot, Dave, as we've talked about.
We got a pivot going on.
It's a pivot, the Democratic pivot. In about a month or two, all this shit's going to wash through. They're going to claim victory onto the midterms. Our strategies worked. Most of the people who died of COVID were super sick anyway. We kind of knew that. So then why'd you vaccinate 300 million people? Well, because they're idiots, you know, whoever did. But let me talk to Kristen Sinema for a second, Senator from Arizona. Really glad you brought up her up, Dave. So for folks at home who don't follow this stuff too closely, incredible day this past Wednesday on the Hill. Joe Biden makes his way down to Congress pleading with Senate and Congress to get something passed on HR1, which is the federalizing elections, okay, and basically a related bill to basically take the power away from the states and the secretaries of states to certify elections. That's huge. It's basically changing the Constitution.
Sure.
And Sinema got up there 20 minutes, Dave, after he left the building, and he was probably, people have probably seen this video circulating on the internet. He's bumbling. I mean, I know he's always bumbling, but he was totally bumbling. Didn't even know what he was talking about.
Is this mic on?
I know. Yeah. Is this mic on? Hello. Exactly. And he was like tapping it. She got up there, gave a great speech.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. HR1's not going through. The federalization's not going through.
Build Back Better.
Build Back Better is not happening. The filibuster rule will not change. 60-volt threshold will still stay in place, thanks to her and Manchin. They both came out Wednesday and announced absolutely firm, not going to happen. And Dave, this is honestly worst week for this president, and it's only a year in.
And by the way, polling at
30%.
30%. How low can we go? It's like the limbo.
Did you know inflation is actually higher than his poll numbers now, by the way?
There you go. There's so much that has happened. So but this is the same week. Remember, the hero was just down. I'm going to start calling it a clown show. The whole thing's a clown show. Yeah. Down there in Georgia. About the whole voting nonsense. Stacey Abrams, the quote unquote most recognizable Democrat in Georgia, didn't even show up.
All right.
So that went.
It's a sinking ship. She's not going to show up.
Yeah. And one more, a great segue, Frank. Sinking ship. Dr. Fauci. Oh. So along with the whole Jan 6 thing, they also had an amazing, once again, it's like two heavyweights.
It's a boxing match. Rand Paul.
It's a boxing, Rand
well,
Paul.
Except that Fauci's a lightweight, Rand Paul's a heavyweight. He's kicking the shit out of him. That's the difference.
I loved it. It's the most entertaining TV I've seen in months.
Yeah.
And this is on the heels of, if you guys are a little bit more in the weeds, but they finally have come out, Freedom of Information Act, getting some emails that reveal the top scientists.
Yeah.
You're not Fauci. Yeah, they've known that COVID-19 emanated from that laboratory, but Fauci and his pals have kind of kept that under wraps.
And by the way, Dave, to go even a layer deeper. So Fauci and the department, I'm not sure if you saw this week, Dave, the Department of Defense threw Fauci under the bus on the whole gain of function funding issue. And it's because Fauci fucked the DOD over back during the HIV days, and this studying and all that stuff and about virus. So DOD, Department of Defense, came out this week, threw Fauci under the bus. Yes, they said absolutely gain of function and weaponization, all funded and led by Fauci. And they were like, thank you very much. And so Fauci totally under the bus.
And yet he still has to go, in the top five of all time, most arrogant, narcissistic SOBs ever to walk this planet. By the way, we all know that he's making almost $500,000 a year.
Highest paid federal employee in the government of the United States.
Probably of all time. I mean,
he's paid more than the president. The president gets $400,000 a year. He's getting paid like $520,000.
And then plus he's getting all the other kickbacks. Remember, he gets kickbacks.
And for folks who don't know, by the way, his wife, this is all swamp stuff, but it's true. His wife is responsible for ethics, the ethics review board at the National Institutes of Health.
Oh Lord.
How's that, right?
Yeah, you can't make it up.
I know.
I think we're already at our time limit. I just think this really was a fantastic week for us. I think more and more people who are kind of wishy-washy, oh, that potato head Joe, he's a good old boy. He's going to help us out. No. That completely has been eviscerated. I'm feeling good for the year, Frank.
Feeling really good, Ed. Great to see you this week. Fantastic topics. Feeling on top of the world. Got to keep it going. We got a long time of this potato head still in power. Folks, don't forget to listen to us on your favorite podcast platform of choice, Pandora, Spotify, Google, Apple, and also follow us on social media, Getter, Gab, or MeWe, the new conservative media. By the way, Dave, Steve Bannon rocking. I have to call him out on War Room and Getter. He's doing great. Do not go to Facebook. Do not go to Twitter. Please delete your accounts there. Dave, we'll see you down the road on the right side.